From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect, a rainy day in Albuquerque. I'm not sure how it is in Lisbon, Portugal, but we're about to find out from our good friend Dave Slade. He is the author of a new book called We Are the Last Generation. He's also the author of the Amazon bestseller, The Christ Virus, and the sequel to it, Dark Star Rising. The Christ Virus, published in 2012, you might remember, shot to the top of Amazon's religious mysteries category when readers discovered the book predicted the outcome or the outbreak of the pandemic in 2019 and the election of a wealthy Republican candidate from New York to the U.S. presidency in 2016. Obviously, very familiar stories. Dave, how are you?
Well, I'm great, Jim. So good to hear your voice.
It really is for us as well, Dave. You and Holly have been longtime supporters of all the things we've done here on the radio. You're now living in Portugal. I think it's amazing. I knew talking with you for many years, that was a place you wanted to be, and I hope it's ended up being all you hoped it would be.
Yeah, it's a beautiful country. We live about an hour north of Lisbon on the coast.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of home. I grew up in Salinas, California, which is about 18 miles from Monterey and Carmel. So the vegetation, the climate, very, very similar to that area of California.
And we are going to have to get you to talk a little Portuguese for us, buddy. How you doing with that?
Okay. No problem.
All right. I'm teasing you a little bit. Dave, let's get right to it. You had said before the show started today that this book's a little bit different. It's called We Are the Last Generation. Of course, our listeners, familiar, as we've already mentioned, with The Christ Virus and Dark Star Rising, those were fiction works, but they were also very predictive, and you had some amazing ideas that you can't help maybe were inspired by the Holy Spirit telling you to make it part of your story. So The Last Generation is a different book. What led you to the conclusion that we are the last generation? This is a pretty bold statement.
Yeah, it is. For some, it may be controversial. I have been a student of prophecy for many, many years. I taught a Bible study for men at Calvary or co-led a Bible study for men at Calvary for 10 years. And a lot of what we studied was prophecy. And I've been studying prophecy pretty much since the mid-1990s. I got turned on to it by Chuck Missler, who is kind of the godfather of American prophetic prophecy. And so in reading and in studying for The Christ Virus and preparing that, which primarily dealt with the prelude to the rise of the Antichrist and Dark Star Rising, which is the rise of the Antichrist, I did a lot of studying. And the more I began to read the Olivet Discourse, which is in Matthew 24, and it's in Mark 13 and Luke 21, the more I became convinced that Jesus is talking to our generation. And he makes a very interesting statement at the very end of Matthew 24. And he says that the generation that sees all these things, and these things that he's talking about are the birth pains, which a lot of your listeners are familiar with, earthquakes and pestilence and wars and rumors of wars, those kinds of things, that generation will see his return. And that's a very provocative statement by Jesus. And so a lot of people have looked at that and said, well, he's really talking about the generation that goes through the tribulation, that all of the things that happen basically during the tribulation are what Jesus is referring to. And I don't think so. I think that we are seeing right now the very things that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24 and Mark and Luke. And that is the wars and rumors of wars, the pestilences, the persecution, all these things. And there's a lot more evidence outside of just the things I've mentioned that I'd love to talk about that support that statement.
I love that. So unquestionably, you believe we are living in the last days. Where do you think we are on that timeline?
Well, the last days, I believe, is a long period of time. And I believe the last days began at the end of the 19th century when the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37 began to happen. And that is when Jews began mysteriously to return to Israel from all over the world. And they would come in and they would buy up swampland, a lot of it. And they were the genesis of the kibbutzes that now exist in Israel. And so this, of course, culminated with Israel becoming a nation in May 14th, 1948. But it began back in the late 19th century. And of course, Israel becoming a nation was a major, major fulfillment of prophecy of Ezekiel 37 that said that Israel would become a nation. It would no longer be split in two, but it would be one with one king. And but all of the 20th century, the wars, major World War I, World War II, all of the things that happened were prelude, I think, part of the last days. But something very interesting has happened at the beginning of the millennial, at the turn of the century, the 21st century, and that is things have speeded up dramatically. In fact, if you look at these statements of Jesus at the very beginning of Matthew 24, since 2000, four of the largest earthquakes in the history since they've been recorded have occurred since 2000. We've had some of the immense tsunamis that have wiped out part of Indonesia. These earthquakes have been enormous. The one that struck Haiti killed over 200,000 people. So very, very big expressions of what Jesus was talking about at the beginning of Matthew 24. I just read an article today that said that Barron's just published a report from a Norwegian report that said that there are more ongoing wars right now or armed conflicts, the most since World War II. And so we're living in an age now of war. And right now we're looking at any of three possible scenarios that could create World War III, the Ukraine-Russia conflict, the Israel-Hamas-Hezbollah conflict, the impending or perhaps coming conflict between China and Taiwan. And so any one of these three could launch World War III. Now, we haven't seen this type of potential for war since World War II. And so then, of course, we have the pandemic that occurred, the COVID-19 pandemic that occurred that killed about 6.5 million people. And a lot of people predicting that there's going to be another big pandemic coming. So there has been an acceleration of these things that really began in the 20th century that we're seeing now that changes, I think, the whole dynamic of the times that we're living in.
Dave, you started our conversation today talking about your statement, we are the last generation, could be fairly controversial. And I think you're talking about maybe within the church itself. What kind of controversy are you expecting?
Well, there are several pastors that believe that the verses that I'm referring to specifically fit in with the period of the tribulation, and they are not referring to a time prior to the tribulation, that the church will be raptured and that these things that are being discussed will be things that happen during the tribulation. I don't believe that. And I don't believe that because we're seeing them right now. The evidence of it is all over the news. So we're seeing what's happening right now. That's one reason. Another reason is, and this is a critical thing for your listeners, Matthew 24, verse 14 is very interesting. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come." Illumine Nations, which represents a coalition of Bible translators throughout the world, I think about 95 of them, including Wycliffe, has predicted that by the year 2033, the gospel will have been translated into every language of the world. There are still several languages that have not been translated, and of those, 70% are verbal with no written language. And some of them are just tribes of only a few hundred people. So, but what's happened is that the technology today is accelerating the ability to translate the gospel. But stop and think about what this verse says, that when the gospel's been preached to all nations, then the end will come. Okay, so we're on the cusp of that right now. That's 9 years away. Now, that may not happen by then. They may miss that mark. But what it means is that the mission of the church that Jesus gave to him, go and make disciples of all nations, is within reach of being achieved. That's huge. And once I believe that the mission of the church is achieved, then the church will be raptured. And so I think what we're seeing here is within, you know, certainly within the next decade or two decades at the very most, it's hard to say exactly when the rapture will happen. But the completion of the gospel to all nations, we're going to see that most likely within the next decade.
We are visiting with the author of a new book called We Are the Last Generation, Dave Slade. Dave, former businessman, retired in moving to Portugal with his wife, Holly. Of course, Holly visited with us many times and still oversees the Feed New Mexico Kids Ministry throughout New Mexico. Dave, I'm just excited to talk to you about this because we miss you. We haven't seen you for a while. And I, you know, I had a chance to visit with you. You were always serving at the church. You were greeting people. You were leading Bible studies. So I want to ask you about We Are the Last Generation. When is it released? Do I understand tomorrow is the release date?
Yes, it's being published by Trilogy, which is the publishing arm of Trinity Broadcasting Network, TBN. And tomorrow is its release date, and well, it'll be available in Amazon, but also in bookstores.
That's very exciting. Dave, what do you want people to do with this information? I view you as an encourager. We mentioned your first two books, which were works of fiction, ended up being The Christ Virus, had some very prophetic stories and content in it, but you're the kind of person that reads the Bible, and there are a lot of things in between the stories that the characters, we don't know where they went or what they did or how they lived, and your imagination would take off with a lot of this information, and you weren't trying to add to the Bible, but you were creating a story. You were entertaining us with a biblical viewpoint. And I always thought from the very first time I interviewed you that you were hoping to have some fun and be entertaining and also be spiritually encouraging. This book is not fiction. This is a book about what you believe is going to happen and where the world stands today and what God is doing. What do you hope people can do with this information?
Yeah, this is a very different book. This is a very serious book. Here's my hope. This book really targets two audiences, obviously believers. It's meant to encourage believers. It says, you know, when you see these things, your redemption draws near, look up. I want people to be encouraged that we are the last generation and that the Lord is returning very, very soon. And there is tremendous evidence, and hopefully we can discuss some more of the evidence, that we are that generation that Jesus talked about in Matthew. For those that are not believers, or for those that have belief but are not born again, I want them to really consider the content of this book and really dwell on it and chew on it and think about the fact that there is empirical evidence. There's lots of evidence that Jesus is coming back. And what other book has been able to make predictions 2,000-3,000 years ago that have come true? And when you, that kind of thing happens, that's evidence that you should certainly consider and think about the other predictions that haven't come true yet, but have been laid out for us to read. So my intent is twofold, is to reach people that are believers, to encourage them, that they believe in something that is very true, and there is tremendous evidence to support our beliefs, and to reach people that are not believers so that they will believe.
Dave Slade, the author of a new book called We Are the Last Generation. Release date is tomorrow, the 11th of June, 2024. We hope you'll stay with us. When we come back, I'm going to ask Dave about himself. He has a background in journalism and in business, and I want you to just get to know him a little bit. And then we're going to talk about more about the evidences that back up the fact that Dave believes we are the last generation. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. We are back on ABQ Connect. Dave Slade, the author of a new book called We Are the Last Generation, is with us, and he's joining us all the way from Portugal. And Dave, we appreciate that. We're glad to know that, you know, it's not too close to the middle of the night there, but we do appreciate you taking the time. I'm always fascinated with the technology that we can, click a couple buttons on the computer and have the quality that we have. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Dave, tell our listeners a little bit about you. I know you have some background in journalism, and so investigation and contemplation and evaluation, critical thinking has always been part of you.
Well, let me start with what God did in my life, and that is he uses the foolish things to confound the wise. And I was a kid in high school that wanted to be a writer that got a D in creative writing. I've never ever shared that with anybody, Jim. I got a D in creative writing. The only D I ever got in high school, by the way, but it was in creative writing. So it's funny because, here's a guy that wants to be a writer and he gets a D in creative writing. I also was absolutely terrified to speak in front of audiences at all. I remember getting up in front of a class in high school, about 13 students, and I broke out in hives because I was just terrified of speaking. And yet I've had multiple opportunities to speak. I went on to get a degree in journalism at San Jose State University. And I was a newspaper reporter, actually up in Rio Rancho for about 3 years. And then I taught journalism at the secondary level for a couple years in English. And I really loved it. And the only reason I ever got out of it was just because it didn't pay very well. But, it's always been my heart to do that. But as a reporter, yes, I covered my main area that I covered was government and politics. And I interviewed several different politicians through the years and spent a lot of time at council city meetings and all those kind of things. But I love that, and I love the investigation part, and certainly it's helped me through the years in researching the books that I've written.
Now, Dave, I'm thinking about you. I mean, what you're really talking about is academia. You're talking about writing. You're talking about evaluation, investigation. How did you decide that Jesus was Lord of your life?
I'm sorry, Jim, you broke up just a little bit.
What I was saying is, how did you decide that Jesus was, Lord and Savior? And did it take a lot of, did you just hear the gospel and accept it? Or did you have to go through some investigation and things like you do in your writing?
No, it's interesting. In my journey, I had a belief of Jesus. I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and I remember at the time when I was 6 years old that I felt God was telling me that I was special to him. So I've always had that belief that God loved me from a very early age. However, I never, you know, I wasn't born again. I didn't have that experience until I was 19. And, but I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I just wasn't born again. And as God would have it, I joined a fraternity, and my roommate was an on fire born again Christian. In fact, the dedication at the beginning of We Are the Last Generation is to this individual, because he changed my life. And every morning he woke up singing an Amazing Grace, which just drove me crazy. And I can't even believe I'm living with this guy. And I was 19 years old. And but one night, I went out and partied and did all the things that, crazy people do. And the next morning, I remember waking up, and the Holy Spirit came upon me with a very strong conviction. I got on my knees and accepted Christ. And that was life-changing event at 19 years old. And, that gentleman, that young man was 20 years old. His name was Tony Giuliana. And a few months later, he died tragically in an accident. And so it was just that brief period of time of 4 months that I got to spend with him that really changed my life. And Tony never really preached to me, but he lived the gospel. And living the gospel was a very powerful expression of how Christ had changed his life.
Yeah. Dave, I'm thinking about you at 19. I'm, thinking about myself at 19. We're close to the same age. I don't know if kids, I don't know if my children today or my grandchildren would actually acknowledge that I was ever 19 years old. In other words, they're perceiving us as, I'm Papa Jim to my grandchildren, and they don't think about us as being young and having temptations and all those different things. So what you just described as part of a fraternity, especially, is really counterculture. Talking about Jesus and having a routine of worshiping God and being in the Bible, those are contrary to what most college students are going to be doing.
Oh, absolutely. And I was fortunate because Tony was part of a small group of Christians within this fraternity. And I used to think that they were crazy. Because they were very active in witnessing within the fraternity. When I moved in with Tony as a roommate, he didn't witness to me, but inside the fraternity they did. But, it's a different time, Jim. I mean, you stop and think about this. I mean, this was back in the 1970s when I was in school, and it was a different age. And back then, people did witness, and people did pass out tracts. And talking about Jesus, wasn't completely unusual back then. The whole Jesus generation, the revolution, really that began at the end of the 1960s and extended into the early 1970s was happening. I remember some of the first Christian music back then. And so it was a pretty exciting time to be a Christian. And Skip came out of that whole generation as well.
Yes, yes. Well, the Jesus movement and the Jesus music, all of that was conducive to really introducing, a counterculture of faith in Christ to what Americans at large were experiencing. Dave, tell me about what's been the influence of living abroad in Portugal? How's that affected your thinking, or has it helped to clarify things for you?
Well, it's given me, I think, a different perspective. I like it because I can kind of stand back, Jen, as an observer from afar, watching what's going on in the United States right now, and juxtaposing that with what's going on in Europe. And of course, I follow the European news very, very closely now. I didn't used to when I was in the United States, but I do now. And I have to say that it makes me very sad to see what's happening in the United States, this great country that was founded upon Christian principles, and how you have a really a cultural war that's going on in the United States. I wouldn't call it Democrats and Republicans. I would say it's a culture war. That's what's happening right now. And if you drill down on what's the culture war, it's basically people that have chosen not to believe in Christ and people that believe in Christ. And there's a spiritual battle that's going on for the soul of America right now. And it's a battle. It really is. And I can see that very clearly because I'm not living in the soup right now of what's happening in the United States.
Dave, you mentioned that it was an exciting time when you were in college to be a Christian, and you even mentioned witnessing. And I can tell you that I was one of those, I'm going to call myself a knucklehead, that went out and handed out the four spiritual laws tracts, and I would talk with a person for 30 seconds, and if they didn't immediately want to receive Christ, I wasn't mean or anything, but I wasn't really focused on them thinking I cared about them that much. I just go to the next person. Ministry has really changed since then. I mean, God wants us to love people, and especially people that don't necessarily agree with our what we believe, and have a relationship with them. Is this book something that a believer could give to somebody that maybe has questions about faith and use it as a tool to share their faith with them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I actually wrote it with that in mind, that this book would be something that would provide evidence that the Bible can be trusted. And because it can be trusted, the prophecies in the Bible are going to come true. In fact, the second chapter in the book deals with why we can trust the Bible. And it goes into several different examples of prophecy that came true with stunning accuracy. We're not talking about Nostradamus here with obscure little stanzas of predictions that could mean anything. We're talking about stunning accuracy that the Bible has in its prophecies and the prophetic scriptures. And that's what's exciting. And if I can just segue into one thing, Jim, let me give you an example of what is so exciting right now. You know, there's a lot of talk about climate change. It's very, very prevalent in the news over here in Europe. And so there's a lot of pressure over here to conform. That's one of the unfortunate things about socialism as opposed to capitalism. You get this a lot of pressure. The government controls you much more than you have in the United States. But so, the whole green agenda is very, very big over here. Well, in the bowl judgments in Revelation, it's a time of great heat. And if you go to Revelation and you look at the bowl judgments, let me just read a couple to you and then just keep this in mind why it is incredible. The fourth bowl judgment says that men were scorched with great heat and they blasphemed the name of God. Well, in the book, I go into detail about what's happening right now in terms of the heat. The climate change is real. What causing climate change is up for debate. The green activists out there, of course, are blaming it on the carbon in the air and from the coal plants and cars and all of that stuff. That may or may not be the cause of it. But one thing is for sure, climate is changing. And it's changing all over the world. And the oceans, the second bowl judgment says that that every living creature in the sea died. And then the third bowl judgment says that every living thing in the rivers died. And so when the heat goes up, it kills fish. Right now, the coral reefs throughout the world are dying, and they are a source of life for many, many different fish. And if the water gets too warm, the fish can't live. And then there's this stunning, stunning prophecy in the sixth bowl judgment. And this is what it says, that the great river Euphrates and its water was dried up, so the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. There's just been a report that's come out this last year that says that the Euphrates River is is predicted to be dry by the year 2040. Now, wow. Grab a hold of that for just a minute. Here's something that was written 2,000 years ago that is about to be fulfilled here within the next few years. Euphrates River, a massive river that's about to go dry. And that is in the tribulation. So once again, these are some of the things that we can look to it and say, okay, now just a few years ago, if you go back 20, 30 years ago, these prophecies here in Revelation chapter 16 would have seemed kind of far out there. They don't today because the world is getting hotter, it's drying up rivers, it's killing fish, and these prophecies are going to come true during the tribulation.
We're talking with Dave Slade, the author of We Are the Last Generation. Great start to today's program. We got another two segments with Dave. We're going to talk more about the chapters in the book and what he covers and other additional evidence. Although I don't want to do any spoilers, Dave, we can't give away everything about the book today. So we want people to go pick it up and find out for themselves what's going on. Dave Slade will be back with us on ABQ Connect. I hope you'll stay with us. We're back with Dave Slade on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you. Dave Slade, the author of We Are the Last Generation, is on the phone with us today. Dave, let's talk a little bit about other evidence and kind of the points you make in each chapter throughout the book.
Well, you know, at the end of Daniel, chapter 12, there's two statements, two prophecies that are very interesting. One is that knowledge will increase and men will run to and fro. So what is being said there is that things are going to speed up and knowledge is going to increase. Well, right now, knowledge is increasing, doubling every 12 hours. Now, that's amazing because up until the year, till the 1900s, knowledge didn't increase that fast. It was increasing about every 25 years, doubling about every 25 years. Now it's doubling every 12 hours. And it's been predicted that within the next 10, 20 years, it will double every hour. And so that's the fulfillment of prophecy right there. The pace of life. Well, you know, I mean, go back 150 years ago and there were no trains, no cars, no jets, no telephones, no televisions. And life was quite different. I remember you probably remember this too, Jim, that when we first started in business, there were no cell phones, right?
Yes,
we had pagers.
Right.
We had pagers. And so we'd have to find a phone booth when we needed to return a phone call. And that wasn't bad because it gave us time in between appointments to kind of think about what was going on and to process. And once we got cell phones, all of that downtime was gone. And so everything has changed. And so these are two prophecies 2,500 years ago in chapter 12 of Daniel that have come true. And that's more evidence of the times that we live in because Daniel says in the last days, these things will happen. And so we are definitely in the last days. We've been, as I said earlier, in the last days, I think, since the end of the 19th century. But things are accelerating right now.
Dave, I don't have this on the list of questions, but I'm kind of thinking as you're talking about, there are people that may not understand that the Bible is different than reading even a book by Dave Slade. What does it mean to believe the Bible is the inspired word of God?
Well, the Bible is the only book ever written that can fulfill, can make predictions thousands of years before they happen and have them come true. You go and look at Psalm 22, which describes the crucifixion of Christ, and that was written by King David 1,000 years before it happened, and it came true with stunning accuracy. And a lot of people will say, well, how do you know it was written 1,000 years ago? And they said, well, you know, we don't, but we do know this, that was written before Christ was born. That's for sure, because they found evidence of that in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the Dead Sea Scrolls have been dated anywhere from 300 BC to 5 AD. So they were written well before Jesus, his life happened. And here you have this stunning view of what was going to happen on the cross. And there it is in Psalm 22. And that's just one example of prophecy being fulfilled. So what other book can do that? And so the question is, if the Bible has this ability to do that, and these men wrote this, these 44 men wrote this book over the course of several thousand years, where did they get this information from? Of course, they got it from God. And so the Bible has, because of its ability to predict the future, has the legitimacy to be believed, and not just pieces of it, but all of it. And for me, as a writer of these types of books, I'd call them prophetic fiction, and the last generation, we're the last generation, to me, that just puts the Bible in a whole different category. And, you know, as I was trained as a skeptic, as a journalist, and so for me, I like to see things that can be proved. And so for me, prophecy has always been very, very important, because it's evidence that the Bible is real, and that, as Missler used to say, it's, you know, it's from the messages are from another time dimension. They're from outside of our time domain. And that's God that is communicating with his creation through his words, the Bible.
Dave, you mentioned your other books, The Christ Virus and Dark Star Rising. I know those are works of fiction, but talk to us a little bit about those books, because you were very careful with those books to kind of create a narrative and a story within what you believe is true about the Bible.
Yeah, what I did is I wanted to follow Scripture as much as possible in terms of how I think it will play out. So the character of the Antichrist, the character of the individual that precedes the Antichrist, the times that the Antichrist would be living in, I wanted it to be as close to what I think will happen as possible. And of course, there's a prophetic, there's a theme that runs through the Christ virus, which is basically that we're saved by the blood, and that we are redeemed by the sacrifice of Christ. And that's really at the heart of what the Christ virus is about. It's a book about a terrible pandemic that kills many, many people, but it's also about being saved by one man. And that one man, he had the antivirus in his blood that saved everyone, which is symbolic of Christ saving us.
Dave, on the back cover of your book, you were kind enough to send me some notes on this. I want to read a statement that you have on the back cover. It says, just before his death, Jesus Christ revealed to four of his closest disciples a stunning prophecy about signs that would trigger events leading to his return. You've already mentioned a few of those today. He said the generation that sees the beginning of these signs would live to see his return. Do you think we're going to be out of here, or are we going to get to actually see Jesus when he comes?
Well, I think that, as I said earlier, I think that the next decade, it's very possible that the mission of the church will be completed as illuminating nations, as predicted 2033, but I think it could be a little bit later. But regardless of that, the end is in sight of the fulfillment of the mission of the church. Now, how much longer God takes to remove the church is a big question mark, just because the gospel has been translated into all languages does not mean that God is immediately going to rapture the church once that's completed. It could be another decade. It could be another decade and a half. But one thing we know for certain is that because of these other things that I've just talked about here, the heating up of the world, the drying up the Euphrates River, these are in tribulation, or in the tribulation time, that the tribulation itself is not that far into the future. And 2 Thessalonians makes it pretty clear that the church is not going to be here during the tribulation, that the restrainer, it says, must be removed, which a lot of people believe will be the Holy Spirit, and the church before the Antichrist will come on the scene. So to me, that's incredibly encouraging for believers out there right now that, yes, we're that generation that Jesus said that we'll see all these things, that see all the earthquakes, the wars, all these things, the completion of the gospel, and his return. And so, you know, the church physically won't be here, we'll be in heaven, but of course we'll be coming back, and so we're coming back in triumph, but we're also coming back at the end of the tribulation. So you could make an argument that actually the church, which sees all of these things, will also see the very end, the conclusion, which is the return to earth and the end of the tribulation.
Dave, have you ever put yourself in the place of, let's say, your favorite disciple? Maybe you visualize yourself as one of the four when Jesus is talking about what events are to come after his crucifixion. Have you ever thought about why Jesus didn't make public declarations of all of this and why he said it only to his closest disciples?
Well, it is a very interesting story there about Jesus, because they went to the temple and one of the disciples says, "Wow, I mean, look at this grand temple." And Jesus makes this crazy statement that, "I tell you, not one block will be remaining upon each other." And it must have just been mind-blowing for them, because the Herod's temple, which is considered the second temple, was enormous. It was enormous and was grand. And there's an English or a Jewish saying that said, if you haven't seen Herod's temple, then you've never seen a grand building. It was amazing. And so four of them, Peter and Andrew and James and John, came to Jesus on the Olivet, Mount of Olives, and said, "Hey, tell us when these things are going to happen." And I go into some deep detail about that, because they really asked three questions, and I'm not going to go into it right now, but they asked three questions. But they were very much concerned about Jesus making this statement about these things happening. And so, you know, for me, I've kind of always identified somewhat with Peter, and the guy that was kind of, you know, always putting his foot in his mouth, you know, kind of rushing ahead, with lots of enthusiasm, but not necessarily always thinking about what he was doing before he did it. That would certainly, I think typify me and some of the things that I've done in my life. But yeah, I would say that I probably identify with Peter a lot in terms of some of the things that he did. And I'm sure that he was thinking, as was John and Andrew, about this incredible statement that Jesus made about what was going to happen. And of course, it was fulfilled in 70 AD to the letter, what he predicted. The Romans tore the whole temple down, and because the gold at the very top of the temple caught on fire and the gold melted and it seeped between the great stones. They pried every one of those stones apart to get to the gold.
Wow. We Are the Last Generation is a new book by Dave Slade. Release date is June 11th, 2024. Of course, we're having this fortunate interview the day before the release, but I hope a lot of people will listen to this interview. It'll be available at abqconnect.online, and it'll be available for people to listen to anytime. Dave, we're going to have one more segment with you, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you the first question I have for the last segment is, where do you hope to take people as they finish this book? What do you want them to be left with? That's a question we'll have for Dave Slade when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We're back with Dave Slade, author of a new book called We Are the Last Generation. He's also the author of the Amazon bestseller, The Christ Virus, and the sequel to it, Dark Star Rising. Dave, again, thank you for joining us. I want you to tell us where you hope you will leave people as at the end of the book? What should they be feeling? What action do you expect them to take?
Well, I want them to be feeling urgency. For those that are not believers and for believers, I want them to be filled with hope. The last chapter in the book is called It's Later Than You Think. And as I said, I think we are on the threshold of the rapture. I think it's very, very close. You know, some people have said that nothing needs to happen for the rapture to occur, and I don't believe that. The reason I don't believe that is because the gospel has not been preached to all nations. And once the church is gone, who's going to preach the gospel? Who's going to translate it? So I believe that the church will be here until its mission is fulfilled. And but that's not far away. And so, I want people to be, the people that are not believers, I want them to feel an urgency that based on the evidence presented in this book, you really need to think carefully about either believing or not believing and be willing to accept the consequences. And for believers, it's I want you to be encouraged that, that Jesus is coming soon.
You know, it's interesting you've talked about the gospel going to all parts of the world. And this is a side note, but we have a ministry. You're very familiar with them here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's called Faith Comes by Hearing. And yes, much of the technology that's been developed for Bible translating has come right out of their ministry.
That's very, very true. It's very innovative. They have some really innovative ways of presenting the gospel through almost through like skits in different ways that they do it. I've had a chance to visit with some of the people that work in the organization and get to know them a little bit. And it's one of the great, great Bible ministries in right in Albuquerque.
Well, and what they've done primarily is they've worked with a lot of Bible translators like Wycliffe, and they have created what they call dramatized versions of the Bible, where they don't change the text. They just present the text in what they believe is the context, maybe emotionally and verbally, and maybe even try to express nonverbal kinds of things as they talk through and read the Bible. So it's a very valuable tool for a lot of people. Dave, I appreciate your encouragement to believers. I really I hope people will listen. Tell us again, where can the book be found? We Are the Last Generation.
We Are the Last Generation can be found on Amazon. Booksellers throughout the United States are supposed to be picking the book up. So I've been told that it'll be in Barnes & Nobles and other bookstores. And if you go there and you don't find it, just ask for it, and they can certainly supply it. But it's a wide distribution, and so it happens tomorrow.
I love it. Dave, we are blessed. I always want to throw this in. We have to have a follow-up interview, see how the book's doing, and talk more about it. Maybe we'll give this 8 weeks or so, and we'll visit again. How about that?
That sounds great, Jim. Look forward to it.
Thank you, Dave. God bless you.
God bless you too, Jim.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.